Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
It's food, right? You can get that anywhere. I come for the hugs, man. That's what I feel like Valley Bible. People are people everywhere, but I come for you guys, man. You guys are amazing. Valley Bible. So we get to talk about relationships today, right? Some of you guys thought, we're going to talk about food. I can talk about food. I like food, as you can tell, but we're going to talk about relationships. Today's called Created for Connection. Did you guys know you are created for connection? You are created to connect with Jesus and connect with each other. It's just one of those awesome things about life. So we're going to talk about that today. Can we do that? Awesome, awesome. Hey, we're part of something way bigger than we are, right? We got East Campus here. We got CSUB online. We got Springville. We got Visalia. We got the internet audience. Man, isn't that cool? We got Vegas that's happening. We got Ventura. Man, when does it stop? This is good, right? God is just good like that. So we're gonna get into this. We're created for connection. If you have your Bibles or your phone or whatever, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we're going to read a verse or five. I observe yet another something of an example of something under the sun that is meaningless. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. Then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? So all this is meaningless and depressing. Everybody say, bless God already, right? So it gets better. Verse 9, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord cannot be easily broken. We were created for connection. We need each other, all right? Case in point, try and clap. Okay, ready? Try and clap with one hand. Go. You look awesome. Yeah. I wish you guys could see what I see. It looks good. All right, so we're going to talk about how we need each other today, but I'm going to give you a little quiz first. Can we do that? You guys ready for a quiz? I'm getting educational on you. All right, here we go. Question number one. Name three sermons that changed your life. Three messages that changed your life. What's the title of those messages? I know you're going right now. One of them is called Created for Connection. I'm anticipating. Okay, time's up. I'm sure y'all got that. Next question. Name three movies or books that changed your life. Okay, you got that? Maybe a little easier. Okay, a little easier. You ready? You got that? Everybody got that? Okay. Next, three people who changed your life. That's the easiest one yet. All right, so time's up. How many of you guys answered all nine questions? Anyone? Wow, you are awesome. If you answered all nine, you get an A. It just doesn't matter what your answers are, okay? You get an A, go home. Somebody give you a star, gold star somewhere, okay? If not, just go out and get a backpack, okay? Because it's backpack day, so you can go get a backpack. Hey, wasn't it awesome, by the way, to see the backpacks and the hair cutting and the face painting? VBF, you guys are rock stars. Thanks for making that happen. That is cool. I'm telling you, today I came early because we met up. We want to talk about relationships, creating a connection. We had people show up today at 8 a.m. in the courtyard. I love the courtyard, okay? So we're going to get back to there. We had people show up at 8 a.m. for a prayer meetup, right? Is anybody still here that were part? Yeah, Dee, you were there. You were there. All right, so we had a prayer meetup. There we are, right there. These people, your present company excluded, are getting something extra special in heaven for getting up at like before 7:30 on a Sunday, okay, and coming down and praying. Yes, they are. And so it was cool. We just called a prayer meetup. We did that. We realized the value of connection. We're a digital group, right? We're on Facebook, and we pray for each other, but we realized, man, let's just meet in the flesh. And I met some awesome people, right? That's cool. In the courtyard, also in between services, man, there was baptism. There was, oh gosh, if you guys have not yet been baptized, get on out there. Today, we have shirts for you. We have everything. Follow the Lord in that part of your life. You'll never regret it. It's awesome. All right. So I feel like that was a commercial, but it also talks about connection. All right. And as you know, I am ADD, right? If there is a squirrel that I haven't chased, just give me time. I will chase it. All right. So before we leave here today, here's what we hope to accomplish. I hope that we understand what true connection is. I hope that we understand that there is nothing better in the world than right relationships. To know how to find a friend and how to be a better friend. And most importantly, that Jesus Christ is the best connection you could ever hope for. All right? The best. So let's talk about relationships. Number one, relationships are the most amazing thing we can ever experience, period. Here's the deal. If you're doing good, it's probably the result of good friends in your life, good relationships going on at that time, right? You got a new bestie, right? You just got married. The guy next door just moved in. You got all the same interests. You're both Cowboys fans and all that kind of stuff, right? So, what? Come on, I know there's some Cowboys fans. We don't want to get too sports on you here, all right, because, you know, so I knew it was going to be a good day because this morning I followed this truck. It was a gigantic truck, and he had Cowboys plastered all over the back of his window, and even he had a personalized vanity plate that said Cowboys with a Z. I'm like, yeah, so I followed him. He was driving way too slow for me, but I followed him anyways because I thought, you know what? He's going to turn into Valley Bible. Turn into Valley Bible, and I followed him, and he didn't turn in. So, but that was first service, so you might be here today, and if that is you, you win a special prize. You also get a star on your way out, so come see me. Okay. All right. See, man, we connect over the silliest things, right? We connect over football, you know, 22 men running around after a little piece of leather on a field. We can connect about good things, too, all right?
That's right.
That's right. So relationships are the most incredible things that we can ever have on earth. And so I wanted to describe some things, not just saying that when you have good relationships, life is good. When you have bad relationships, life can be sometimes bad. And we need to be more purposeful in those relationships. But let's understand what relationship is. Let's define friend. I have a couple definitions for friend. Number one, a person who is attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. Oh, that's cool. Number two, a person who gives assistance, like a patron or a supporter, for example, friends of the family. Okay, I understand that. Number three, a person, who is on good terms with another person, a person who is not hostile, like, you know, who are you, friend or foe? Okay, I get that too. A person that is a member of the same nation or party. Cool. Number five, a person associated with another as a contact on a social networking website. Is that a friend? Maybe. I would have tendency probably to call that an acquaintance. And then if you have, you know, a face-to-face relationship, it could probably be more of a friendship. But anyways, okay, so that's a definition. And then I looked up friendship. So those are definitions of friend. I looked up friendship. Here's the definition. A state of being a friend. I don't know about you guys. When I read stuff like that, I'm like, why didn't I write the dictionary? Right? I could have done that. I'd be rich right now. Yeah, man. It wouldn't be Noah Webster dictionary. It'd be Rob B. dictionary. And then I thought we could know what connection means, and that is to join, link, fasten together, unite, or bind. I have a little working hypothesis. You guys see if this resonates with you, but I believe there's a certain measure of relationship, and you can deepen that relationship or friendship by intimacy, by trust, and reciprocation. All right? So you can start at an acquaintance level. But as you grow in your friendship and your connection, I believe you grow in intimacy, trust, and reciprocation. And when those things increase, I think your friendship increases. So there's a formula for friendship, if you will. So if those things are true, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the different levels of friendship or the different levels of connection. So the bottom level of connection would be acquaintances. Those that are on Facebook, right? We have hundreds of Facebook friends, right? If we have hundreds of Facebook friends, they can't all be true friends. They could just be people that give you likes, people that give you a false sense of friendship, and people that post cat videos, okay? Right? Are you with me? Right? A true Facebook friend is somebody that posts cat videos for you. Right? Isn't the world a better place? Because here's the deal. The internet would not be so popular today if it weren't for cat videos. I'm just calling it like it is. All right? Okay, I don't either. You're like, go on, dude. That's just go. So you got acquaintances. Next, the next level up, as intimacy, trust, and reciprocation increases, I believe they're friends. So you move from acquaintances to friends. And you can have only a certain amount of friends, but I think you can have probably an unlimited amount of acquaintances. Some synonyms for friends are companion, buddy, bro. You know, I mean, that's cool, right? When you got somebody, like, there's two ways you can use the word bro, right? At least I do. It's for people that I forget their name, right? Which happens often. Bro, good to see you, bro! Right? And it acts like whatever, right? Or if it's like your good friend, bro! You know? That was the slap. You guys got that? There's a slap, chest bump, hand slap on the back. Okay. So you can use that in a couple of different ways. Sometimes friendships are built on history. You may have went to high school or college with somebody and you rekindle a friendship. You kind of pick up where you left off. Sometimes they're built on trust. Sometimes they're built on certain levels of intimacy. Whereas acquaintances sometimes are just built on proximity, right? He has a cubicle near mine. She lives down the street from me. You don't really know him, but you're like, you just wave and, you know, like, hey, I don't know you. I don't know you from anything, but I'm waving because we live on the same street, right? That's more of an acquaintance. So it goes acquaintance, friends, then family. By the way, family is good, and you can have friendships with family, but you can have friendships with friends, and I believe that friends are the family that we get to choose. Some of you guys get that on the way home. Maybe I'll get that on the way home. And then there's another category, I think, beyond that, that's a special category. It's a mate or like a soulmate, you know, somebody that you get to really experience life with, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, you know. You probably don't have too many of those. Well, you definitely don't have too many husbands and wives, but you probably don't have too many, you know, really soul connections, right? You could have really good friends and so on. And then I believe there's a special case for God, that you can have a personal relationship with God. This kind of blows my mind, and I'm cool with that because I realize that my mind is finite, right? There's just some things on earth that I can't get. Actually, there's a lot of things on earth that I don't get. I probably don't get a lot more things than you guys get, but that's just because I have a spiritual gift of not getting things. But I'm okay with not understanding that God, capital G, God, that created everything, that spoke everything into existence, wants to have a personal relationship with Rod Jones. I don't understand that, but I'm okay with not understanding that because it's weird. Isn't it right? I mean, you think that you have a relationship with somebody that you can go to Starbucks with. Can you go to Starbucks with God? I'm going to do this until you guys think that one through because I don't know. I'm thinking it through. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't know. I leave that to you, okay? But I think at the end of the day, God wants to have a relationship with us because he's a relational God. I'll give you a little quote from Maya Angelou. There is a marked difference between acquaintances and friends. Most people really don't become friends. They become deep and serious acquaintances. But in a friendship, you get to know the spirit of another person and your values coincide. I like that. Girl got it going on. Some psychologists and sociologists would tell us that you can only have 30 friends. And once you reach 31 friends, somebody gets bumped and they become an acquaintance because we are only capable of having 30 friendships. That's just the human being. That's the max. Most of us probably have maybe 20 friendships, but I'm going to tell you this. We probably deep down inside only have, man, if we're lucky, one or two good friends, right? And so I think there's value in acquaintances. There's definite value in acquaintances. There's definitely value in friendship. And I think we need to know the difference in those. And I think we need to cultivate both. I think we need to have many, many acquaintances. You need more Facebook likes, right? You need more people to drive at the end of your road and go, hey, what's up? Because studies show us that it's our acquaintances that get us jobs. They recommend us for jobs. They refer us to jobs. It's how you find a guy to cut your trees. It's how you find somebody to help you with, you know, household projects. It's how you find a new violin tutor or whatever, okay? That's all from acquaintances. You don't get all that from your best friends, from those 30 people, or from, you know, from all of us, maybe like 10 or 12, but you get that from your extended network of acquaintances. So it's important to have acquaintances, right? It's also important to have friends. And, you know, the more acquaintances you have, the more cat videos you have in your life. Okay, so again, you know, it's good. So Friends and acquaintances are important, and just less than a year ago, I shared a message here called the F words, and the first three F words were relational F words, and they were faith, family, and friendship. And if you guys want to brush up on that, just go back and download the video. It's yours for the price of free. Just all you got to go to is vbf.org and download that. And the reason I'm suggesting that is we don't have time to go through that today, but the most important thing in your life are friendships, relationships. Your friendship with God is your faith, your friendship with your family, duh, and your friendship with friends. We need each other. We're in this thing together, and I'm going to give you some scriptures, a few more scriptures, to help you make that a case. At the end of the day, we are better with our relationships. Some people say money is the most important thing. Some people say popularity, you know, health and life benefits. But at the end of the day, most people would say, once they really think it through, quality relationships are the most important thing. So we're going to examine that a little bit more. We're going to find out that relationships actually help us live longer. God is a relational being. And right now I'm going to set the stage for a theological connection, a theological basis for being connection wired, okay? We are hardwired at a theological sense from the very beginning for relationships, all right? You ready for that? I did some work with a guy, and here, this speaks of being purposeful, and I did some work with Promise Keepers recently, and we finished an event, and one of the guys from Colorado was, you know, we were talking, and I'm like, well, man, we'll see you in a while, and he sent me a text, and he said something that I'm going to use from now on. He said, I'd like our friendship to grow, and I thought, oh, that's cool, man. You know, he was saying, there's some value in you, hope you find some value in me, but I'd like our relationship to grow. I never knew in the past how to tell somebody like, hey man, I want to be a better friend of yours. That's just awkward, right? I mean, if you're sitting at Starbucks and you're just kind of acquaintances, but you're going, man, this person's got something, man. This guy has really got some qualities in their life that I want to look up to, and I'd like to get to know him a little bit better. You know, if you say, hey, I'd like to get to know you a little bit better, that could be creepy, right? I'm just being honest, right? If somebody said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, so I think my wife who I'm married to and loves calling, right? So he just said, I'd like our relationship to grow. And I thought, that's cool. I'm using that. Feel free to use it too. We are theologically wired for connection. Number one, God is relational. Genesis 1:26 says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Who is we? Us? Well, so here's the deal. God is talking before man was made. He's talking to somebody. Let us make man in our image. Some theologians would say he's talking to the angels. The angels were already created at that time, and he's like, hey, angels, let's make man in our image. So that means we've got a little bit of God, you know, we're right. Modeled after God, but we're also modeled after angels a little bit. I don't know, maybe not. Other theologians say that God, who we know is one third of the Trinity, was talking to the other two members of the Trinity. So God the Father is saying, hey, God Jesus and God the Holy Spirit, we're going to make man in our image. And so I go, ah, kind of makes sense, right? I don't know really, because I was not there with my iPhone recording the creation of the universe. So we just got to speculate, all right? You speculate, I'll speculate. We don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll see who's right. And then I can go, ha-ha, you know, and he's a kid. Or you can go, ha-ha, or whatever. So, you know, until then, we'll be friends and we'll figure things out. But we do know that God said, let us make man in our image. Why did he do this? Why did God make man? Because he knew man would fall. He knew man would sin. He knew it was just a matter of time before the man and the woman went their own ways and separated themselves from a relationship with God. Ouch, right? That's tough. The answer is I don't know. But I do know that God is a relational God, because not only did he say, let us make man in our image, so he's talking, he's preaching to the choir at some level and saying, we're relational, we're going to do this as a team, we're doing this together, and we're going to make man. And in just a little bit, we'll see that not only does he make man, but he wants to be in a relationship with man, and he makes woman who he wants to be in relationship with man, and God wants to be in relationship with all of them. From the get-go, ladies and gentlemen, God is a relational God, laying the foundation that he wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants us to have a relationship with each other. It's just how he is. So we need to understand that. Now, Genesis 2:7 says this, and we're talking about personal touch. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Up until this point, God has spoken everything into existence. Let there be, let there be, let there be. He didn't say let it be, he said let there be, okay? And there was. The elements, the molecules, the atoms of the universe rallied to the God of the universe's demand. When God made man, he took a different play and he got his hands dirty and he molded man and he made him and then, so personal touch, and then he breathed the breath of God into the man. All right, you're talking about personal touch, that's real personal. And man became alive. I believe this is a first connection. I believe there's some modeling that's going on here. We can't live in our relationships without being intimate at some level, without touch, a touch on the shoulder, a high five, a fist bump, a hug, whatever. We also need that breath of God. We need to be in proximity to each other. Genesis 2:18 says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is just right for him. So what happens? God touches man, he breathes into man, then God touches man again. Why did he touch man twice? I don't know. Maybe it's kind of like a slap around. I don't know. Men need slapping around a lot, right? So, and then he took a rib out of man and made woman. So he touched man. He touched him twice. He touched woman. He made them both. God was intimate with both of them. By the way, when God took that rib from Adam, that was the first takeout rib joint. Ah, okay, so moving on. You guys, anybody hungry now? All right, me too. By the way, when this happened, right after this, was the first marriage squabble, right? It's not in scripture, but I think we can infer this, right? So when they all dressed up after the fall of man and they all were wearing their little fig leaves or whatever kind of leaves they were wearing, and then Eve comes up to Adam and she says, hey, Adam, be honest, do these leaves make me look fat? And so here's the problem, okay? The problem wasn't that Adam answered wrong. He answered right. He said, absolutely no. The problem was that it took him more than a second to answer. You know what I'm saying? There is no wrong, there's no right answer at this point. It's all about speed, okay? Anyway, so I'm just kidding. That's not in the Bible. That's extra. I made that up. But I feel like if we laugh together, we'll learn together. Okay. If God touching man, touching woman, breathing into man, creating woman from the rib of man, that is, I think, the first connection between God and man. And I think God desires us to pass that connection down. And I think the very fact when we reproduce and we have children, there is some intimacy that is a connection that is handed down. And God could have designed it to be any way possible, but he designed the connection process and friendship and relationship to be a connection that started by God and worked its way through. I think that's kind of cool. So, did this come, did this connection come from God's breath? Some theologians would say that there was man and there was the body of man. And then when God breathed his spirit, the Hebrew word is ruach. When God breathed his ruach, his spirit into man, the flesh and the spirit became a soul. And so that's how we pass down and we're soulish people. Whatever it is, it does talk about relationships, and it talks about us being connected personally and in proximity. Next, D, God wants us to be connected to him and to each other. Listen to some of the scriptures that talk about loving God and loving his people. John 15:12 says this, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. I got to press a pause button here. We got to unpack this because it's pretty important about relationships. I know you're godly people, and I know you get up and read your Bible in the morning and you connect with God. That's the goal of my devotions. I had somebody ask me once, they said, man, do you do devotions? I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean by devotions? And, you know, I knew they meant like, you know, do you read the Bible and pray in the morning, or do you do daily bread, or do you, you know, sit up on top of your roof and watch sunrise, whatever. And I said, I do. I have a time in the morning that I devote to God. And they said, what's your goal? I said, it's easy. It's to connect with God. And they go, How do you connect with God? Different times, different ways, different days, right? Sometimes by reading the scripture, sometimes by listening to music, sometimes by playing music, sometimes by pretending I know how to play the guitar, right? So whatever it is, my purpose about my devotion time is to connect with God. I just heard a stat, and I'm going to tell you guys, it kind of alarmed me. Only 7% of Christians read their Bible. I know that's not the case here at VBF. I know it's much, much more. But I heard an interesting correlation, and they said that only 7% of Bible-believing Christians are fluent. So 7% read the Bible, and only 7% have a biblical understanding of the world. Interesting. So is there a correlation there between people that read and people that believe? I think so. Here's my challenge. It doesn't get any deeper than this. If for no other reason, if you don't get anything out of today's message but this, start connecting with Jesus sometime during the day. If it's in the morning, that's cool. If it's your afternoon break, if it's before you go to bed, connect with Jesus. Because I truly believe that if 7% read the Bible and 7% have a biblical understanding, I believe that if 50% of Christians read the Bible, I believe that 50% of Christians are going to have a biblical understanding of life. And I think we'll be better for it. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God." Hebrews 13:1. This is interesting. Hebrews 13:1. "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it."
Amen.
Hmm. You mean when I gave my water bottle to that guy on the street corner with a sign? That could have been an angel. Yes, it could have. Yes, it could have. And you're right. It could have been Jesus himself, because Jesus said, if you do this unto the least of these, who are the least of these? The marginalized people of society. Who are the marginalized people of society? Those that live in nice houses and nice apartments and drive nice cars or bikes? No. They're the people that are forgotten, that are invisible, that are unlooked. They're the people in prison. They're the people in the street. They're the people on the street corner. That's you and I. We're just by the grace of God different. But Jesus said, if you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me.
Yes.
Somebody better get excited about doing something for Jesus by doing something for the least of these. Man, there's a great opportunity for service right there. Man, if I know we have a prison ministry. I know Pastor Ron brags that his books are the number one bestsellers in Kern County prisons. That's the kind of pastor that we got right there. That guy gets it, man. I love that. I want to be like that when I grow up. Don't you? I don't want to be at the airports. I don't want to be in Barnes & Noble. Amazon recommends. I want to be in the prison, man. That's where I want my book. Man, I could get excited about that, right? I'm going to write a prison book, man. Man. How many kids did that to their mom? Mom, when I grow up, I want to write a book that's going to be like the most read book in prisons. Mom would be like slapping you on the back of your neck. You better write a book that goes on Amazon. Right? We could do both, can't we? Amen. "As you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." There are numerous other examples of theology in the Bible, of relational theology, but we just don't have time to go about them right now. So I'm just going to talk to you about relationships and how they make us better. Relationships make us better. Good relationships make us good and make us better and make us healthier and even make us last longer. And I'm going to quote some surveys here in just a second. And bad relationships do exactly the opposite. The number one thing that you can do to make your life last longer, you ready? Get married. Yep. Yeah. So waiting to see if it goes. You know, when you're a speaker, it's weird for people, when people clap, and you guys are clappy, and I love it. Adjective of the day, clappy. So when you clap, it's like, you know, sometimes you want to, you know, push right through it. Sometimes you want to let it go. And I understand you're not clapping for the bald man at all. I get that. You're clapping for Jesus. Okay. So it's just, you know, I just don't know. If like 2-3 clap, I'm like, I'm just going to keep going. But if I see the swell coming, I'm like, let's give it up for Jesus. Sometimes I'll encourage it. So anyways, there are squirrels that I chase. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. When you get married, it is the probably second best thing you could ever do, right? First is your relationship with Jesus. Next is your relationship with your spouse. Marriage is the second most important thing you could ever do if you marry the right person. Yes. And if your spouse is clapping right now, you better clap too. I don't want, there you go, sir. I respect that right there. He's like, he looked at his wife, he's like, yeah. You want tonight to be good? Clap real loud. Survey after survey show us marriage lengthens our life. It makes us happier. It makes us better. It makes us live longer. The average life expectancy of a married man over a single man is 7 years. Married men live 7 years on average longer than single men. Huh? Yes. Guys, before you go out and go, I need me a bride. All right? Remember, I said marriage is the second most important thing in your life if you do it right. You have to do it right. We're going to talk about what makes a good marriage here in just a second. Ladies, you're going, how many years does a lady get out of this thing? How? Two. We don't have time to go into this because I know this is a church, and so we're not trying to be sociologists here, but seriously, you can look this up on the internet. It's not a secret. You'll find it your first couple hits. Married men live 7 times longer than single men, and married women live 2 times longer than single women. But hey, it's better than nothing, right? And just a quick passing, I will say that some of the reason that men live longer is because when they get married, they become responsible, and they stop doing stupid things. Right? They sell their motorcycle, they stop doing drugs, they stop drinking, they come in early. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, so you guys can look that up, but that is absolute fact, it's truth. Here's from the National Marriage Project, and Rutgers University and several universities have done some marriage studies, and they all are coming up with pretty much the same kind of thing. So I'm kind of summarizing them, but here's what makes for a wonderful, wonderful, great marriage that lets you live longer, okay? And by the way, marriage is marriage. These things can also apply to healthy relationships. If you come from a family where mother and father were not divorced, right, that helps you have a better marriage. If you have some income, you're not really struggling financially, that helps you have a better marriage. If you have some college education, that helps you have a better marriage. If you have some religion, and see, these are secular studies, so they have some religion. I would say if you are sold out to Jesus Christ, that is the best thing that your marriage could ever have. Because, man, if you can't love your spouse as Jesus loved the church, and if you can't love your spouse first, how can you go out and love somebody on the street corner? How can you go out and tell somebody that you love them in the cubicle next to yours when you can't even get along with your wife? I'm meddling, I'm stepping on toes, and that's the bad news. But the good news is we're going to have some awesome prayer counselors up here at the end of service, and we can pray with you. Believe me, I've been there too, okay? That's why I'm up here talking and my wife's not, all right? Because otherwise, man, you hear what I'm saying? We've had a lot of trouble and it ain't been hers. Okay. If you have some religion, if you don't have kids too soon or before you get married, these also help attribute to a better marriage. If you don't live together first, unlike some popular opinions out there, we'll just give it a test try. There's no such thing as a test drive for a marriage, ma'am. There's no such thing as a test drive first. You don't give it a word. You're not buying a used car here, sir. I'm for real. All right. And then also if you celebrate big, you do it right and you celebrate in the presence of your friends and family. All of these things, several studies have showed us, make for long-term marriages. Some of you guys are going, Jack, I didn't get one of those down. Okay, I hear you. This is not to cause any guilt, any anxiety. You're like, I know I'm supposed to live 7 times longer, but man, I ain't done none of this right. What does that mean? I'm having stress in my life right now. Here's the deal. God is big. God is huge. God is forgiving. God is God. Don't worry about it, okay? I'm not trying to create guilt or condemnation on anybody. I would never do that. And if I have, forgive me. I am trying to inspire you that have yet to be married. Here's what you need to aspire to, because these make for solid marriages. And if you have a solid marriage, if you're a guy, 7 years longer, women, 2 years longer, you got it. Okay. Married people live longer. Healthy relationships last longer. A longevity study at Harvard Health talked about good relationships, married and otherwise. And they said, if you have good relationships in your life, you are stronger, you have stronger immune systems, you heal faster, you have better cardiovascular health, less depression, less substance abuse, less stress hormones that are inside your body. From good relationships, man. If you guys got heart problems, I'm not saying go home and throw your blood pressure medicine away. I'm just saying examine your relationship, all right? And if you're a crotchety old geezer, you need to start having better relationships. Man, I'm gonna get in trouble. I said way too much and I apologize, okay? I'm just saying that the Bible and some studies are really making sense right now. Here's the opposite. If you have bad relationships, here's what happens. Oh, wait, a couple other better things from relationships. Better communication, empathy, better acceptance, better listening. Man, fewer doctor visits, lower blood pressure, less anxiety, better stress management, fewer colds, and faster healing. These are all from good, healthy relationships. Man, we need to get fired up about that, not just theologically, but practically. That's awesome. All right? Man, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but I'm saying help your doctor. All right? They monitored several couples, and they even found out that there was reduced immunity in couples during hostile marital spats. You mean I could be healthy, and then me and the wife have a knockdown dragout, and I get unhealthy a little bit? Yeah, that's what it says. I mean, you can look this stuff up. I'm not saying you're going to, like, have a fight with your wife and have a heart attack. I'm just saying there are some practical things to what we've already looked at theologically. Bad relationships, more substance abuse, poor heart disease, poor mental health, high blood pressure, obesity, high blood sugar, weaker immune system, and slower disease recovery. I'm just saying, moving right along. All right. I was talking with a friend of mine last Thursday, and we had just talked to another friend, and we were both kind of going, and we realized there might be some things that it's going to take some tough friendship to remedy. And so I looked at my one friend, and I'm saying this not to aggrandize me, but like just to say how passionate I am about relationships, and I hope that you see that passion. And that is, we looked at a friend, and we said, man, he is hurting. And I looked at my other friend, and I said, man, listen, I go, we've got to help. We've got to do something. We've got to intervene. Because I said, if something happens to this brother while he is my friend and it's on my watch, I go, shame on me and you, because we've got to help and we've got to do something. And that's what, and I looked and I found myself and I realized I'm talking this weekend about relationships. And you have the little tear wells kind of right up there. And I'm like, I was just like, we got to help this dude. Nothing's going to happen under my watch. So you know what? We need to have friends that we can help, and we need to be a friend that we can help like that. All right, and then lastly, and I'm kind of close things up with this. I would say love God, love others, and party righteously. You guys saw me almost tipped over there, right? This table's rocking. I'm like, whoa, vertigo. I believe that relationships not only make us healthy, not only we're modeled in the person of God and of Jesus Christ, but they are there for our benefit. Not just healthy, but they are there to make us experience life all the more. They're there to help us enhance life. Have you ever seen a sunset and you go, man, that's a great sunset, or something awesome in nature, and you're going, it would be 10 times as beautiful if I had somebody to share it with, right? Or that cat video, it'd be 10 times as awesome. Relationships are made not only for our benefit, for us to help and for us to receive, but for us to help and impact the quality of our life. We need to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. It is difficult. I'm going to say it's impossible for us to separate loving God from loving his kids. You can't do it. If you entertain that stranger, maybe it's an angel, right? But if you entertain that stranger, you have entertained God. If you help the least of these, you have helped God. At the end times, the Bible tells us there's going to be a time where it's the judgment of the nations, and Jesus is going to go, yeah, you prophesied in my name and you cast out demons in my name, but you did not help me. I was poor and you didn't help me. I needed clothes and I needed food and you weren't there. You didn't give me a backpack. And people are going to go, God, when did I see you without a backpack? He goes, because you didn't see the least of these. You cannot separate loving God from loving his people. When you love God's people, you love God, period. And when you love God, you love his people. We need to love God as Jesus did, sacrificially. A couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, we talked about that. Jesus said, I want you to love people to death the way that I did. Love people as I did till it hurts. Put others before you. Put others in the place of God, because you cannot separate loving God from loving people. Make connections count. We need to make it a priority, right? If you're working in your office or you're doing bills after hours at home and your kids come in or your friend calls, pick up the phone and put the checkbook aside. Put the newspaper down and talk to your kids. Do something, because people over paper, people over everything, because people count. We need to make relationships a priority. Amen. We need to cultivate connection. That means be purposeful, be strategic about our relationships. Relationships are like anything else in life. If you just wait for them to happen, you might be okay. Maybe you'll have a good next door neighbor. Maybe you'll have somebody that you work with that's a cool guy. But you need to cultivate the greater connection. Go after those people that you think, man, I'd like to be a friend with that person. Then you know what? Go after that person and make it a point to find them and pursue them and pursue upward connections. Cultivate connection. Sometimes it takes time. And that's all right. That's all right. I've had people over my lifetime, and I've learned to recognize this, that'll go, hey, Rod, man, hey, let's do coffee. I'm like, oh, I don't have time to do coffee. And then they'll come back, about a month later, hey, man, just praying for you. I got a quote, whatever. And I'm like, okay, I see a pattern here. This person wants to connect with me. Maybe I don't feel like I need to connect with them, but you know what? I need to understand that God has set us up for relationship and set us up for connection. So you know what? I'm going to clear my schedule. I'm going to make time for this guy. I'm going to make time for this girl. And you know, we don't have time for everybody, but you know what? We need to value those relationships that come our way, because when we value those that are pursuing us, guess what? Those that we're pursuing may make more time for us too. Yep. All right? So just play it forward. Play it forward. I'm going to read you something, and I'm going to just say this to set it up. True connection begins with loving God and loving people. There may be somebody in here that has never had a personal relationship with Jesus, but you've experienced loving God because you've experienced loving another person. You can't separate. Every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father above. And when you experience love, you've experienced God. And when you've experienced loving somebody, you've experienced loving God. All we need to do now is just say a little prayer with you, and you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That is the most important connection. And in just a few moments, our prayer team's going to come down. We would love to pray that prayer with you. We're always here. We're always ready to pray. We'll pray with you about anything. We'll pray with you about relationships. We'll pray with you about marriage. We'll pray with you about receiving Christ for the first time. Whatever it is, just let us pray for you, please. Okay, we're coming. So I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. But before I do that, I just want you to listen to this. You've probably all heard this before. It's 1 Corinthians 13. I found this in a translation called The Message, and it really, really kind of resonates with me. And The Message says this. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the very end. That is the love of God. If that kind of hit home to you, and you've never really experienced the love of God, maybe even you thought you may have had the love of God before, but you're going, maybe I really didn't, or maybe I just need to make for sure, make certain that I do have that relationship with Christ down first. That's where it all starts. I believe God spoke to me when I was praying through and working through the message, and he said, there's going to be some people that haven't experienced all that they need to experience today because they're relationally not where they need to be. Somebody's hurt them, or they have not forgiven that person, or there's just anger in somebody, and they need to not just get forgiven, but they need to forgive others. Bible talks a lot about forgiving others, and if we can't forgive others, it's going to be hard for us to get that forgiveness from God. God's always willing, but it's the condition of our heart. So if you have anger against somebody or you have unforgiveness, please, I'm begging you, let us come pray with you about that, and God will forgive you. He'll wipe the slate clean. He'll restore that relationship with you and him and give you a better capacity to be a better friend and to have better friends. In just a second, I'm going to have you stand and I'm going to have you pray with me. And then I'm going to call people down to pray with our prayer counselors. And then I'm going to pray a final blessing over you guys before I let you go. Can we do that? So be ready. If God tugs at your heart, please come forward and pray with some of our prayer counselors. But if I could have everybody stand right now. You guys, relationships are awesome. Embrace them. Love them. Use them. Let them use you. We're better at this thing called life when we have people to do it with. We can live longer. We're healthier. And the Bible models it. God's a relational God, and He wants to have a relationship with you. And so that's the first and foremost thing. If you've never had a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to give your life to Him, He wants to do that today. He wants to wipe out everything. He wants to forgive every sin. He wants to just make it go away. He doesn't even remember them after today. You say, I want forgiveness, Lord. He'll forgive you, and you will start a relationship. You'll start the best relationship ever. Then you'll be able to have more friends and be a better friend. If you're struggling with forgiveness, before we say amen, I'll have you guys start coming down. In fact, if you want to come down now, nobody's going to care. You come on down. Can we pray? Let's just pray right now. Father God, Lord, it's been a great day to be in church. You're so good, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for all these amazing people, incredible worship, incredible servants. Father, we have the best ushers. We have phenomenal greeters. Lord, I get excited when I see that the welcome team outside, man, making everybody feel welcome. I met several people for the first time today. Thank you that they're here, God. There's no accidents. They needed to be at Valley Bible today. Hey, and if you're coming down when I'm praying, you come on down. Our prayer counselors, man, they pray with their eyes open. Just you come on down. But Lord, thank you. Thank you for arranging today the way that you have, for making today awesome, amazing. Thank you, God, that we get to talk about relationships. We get to examine our relationship with you. We get to examine our relationship with each other, with our spouse and with our family and our friends and our acquaintances. Lord, I pray that we'd be better people today because of your word and because of your focus upon relationships. Thank you, God, that you modeled the fact that you are a relational God. And it starts right there. God, make us relational beings. God, let us take advantage of the way that you have created us and the way that we're wired. While I'm praying right now, and you can slip out at any time, but if you have never, while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you have never had a chance to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, please come down right now while we're praying. Come down right now. We want to pray with you. Man, these altars are already getting full. So come on down. If you've never had a chance to receive Christ in your life, we want to pray with you right now. Come on down. Thank you, Jesus, for those that you're calling. Thank you, Jesus. Specifically, next, if you have bitterness in your heart and you have unforgiveness, you need to let it go, ma'am. You need to let it go, sir. And God wants to heal you from that disease of unforgiveness right now. Come down right now in the name of Jesus. While saints are praying and everybody's respectful, you come on down and we are going to pray with you. You're going to get released. You're going to get healed. You're going to get healthy and you're going to get a new start on life and relationships in Jesus' name. And Lord, anything else that we need to come down, if we just need somebody to stand with us and pray with us, Lord, so be it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here. And everybody that is learning about relationships anew, let us understand that we are created for connection. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Please don't go just yet. Please don't go just yet. If anybody else, no.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.